Well, boy, do we have some news on this Wednesday morning. Holy smokes, welcome into Morning Invest, the only progressive morning news show with a live audience, and I love all the feedback from our audience, so keep your chat questions coming. We try to answer them as the show unfolds, and we have, you know, tens of thousands of people that watch the show, so we really try to get to as many questions as we can, so thank you so much. Coming up on today's show, Georgia election results. Georgia, my friends, has just changed the entire country. I mean, it was a long shot. I don't think anyone predicted that this could actually happen. But yes, gone. Mitch McConnell, gone. All signs point to him being finalized, heading back into the ocean as Senate Majority Leader this morning. Turtle Boy is out. I really cannot believe. I really can't believe that they pulled this off. I mean, one of the reasons I can't believe they pulled this off, and we're getting finalized results in the John Ossoff-David Perdue race, but all signs are pointing that John Ossoff has locked that up. In fact, we are waiting to hear from him live, where he will be coming out in a sort of celebratory speech soon. I guess I'm really surprised about the John Ossoff news because David Perdue actually did better in Fulton County and other counties in Georgia than did President Trump. In counties where Joe Biden beat President Trump, David Perdue actually outperformed Donald Trump in those counties. And Republicans had done well in runoff races. That's what they actually do really well, is Republicans get out the vote in runoff races. Turns out, looks like this time that didn't happen. And we'll tell you where the blame squarely falls coming up in just a moment. We're also going to talk about stimulus checks. Of course, that was the closing message from Democrats, was stimulus. We will see $2,000 stimulus checks next week, Joe Biden said. John Ossoff said as soon as next week, we could see $2,000 stimulus checks. You need to elect us, get Mitch McConnell out of power, and we will pass meaningful stimulus. So that third round of stimulus could be coming to a bank account near you very, very soon. We're going to go through some of the dates and timelines on that this morning on the show. And we're also going to look at some of how the Senate is going to switch up now. Because people think, okay, Mitch is out, that's great. But there are a lot of committee seats. I mean, there are a lot of, the banking committee seat. There is the budget committee seat. There's all of those seats that are right now held by Republicans. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thank you for flying with us. Bye-bye. Hit the road, Chuck Grassley. Hit the road, Ron Johnson.
And don't you come back no more.
I don't get jubilant like this because, you know, I'm not a Democrat. I am not a Republican. I'm an independent. But I cannot stand Mitch McConnell. And I think if there's one sort of member of the evil empire that stands out more than anything else as bought and sold by big business, big corporations, to me represents everything that is wrong with Washington, D.C. Hell, even Tucker Carlson. His book that he wrote called Ship of Fools has Mitch McConnell on the front cover of Tucker Carlson's book. So he is like the ultimate example of corporate entrenched politicians. I mean, he has the lowest approval rating of any senator. His state is in disarray. 10 of the poorest counties in the country are in Kentucky. How does he keep getting elected? Well, bye-bye, Mitch. Bye-bye.
Your big money donors can't save you this time.
Well, maybe they could. If you got a net big enough, bring in a net big enough and get him. Save him. Okay. So let's get into some of the news this morning. We were going to get there first, but I do want to tell you about our show sponsor today. And look, I want to help save you money. You know, that's one of the things I'm passionate about here on this show. And I was thrilled. I had been a fan of this company before they decided to sponsor the show today. Truebill.com. So what these guys do is pretty awesome. You know, many of you have like subscriptions to Netflix and all kinds of different random subscriptions over here and over there. What if I told you could actually save about $700 a year? On average, they're helping families save about $700 a year because what it does is it consolidates and figures out all of your different subscriptions under one roof. And most people are spending so much, they're even doubled up on subscriptions. So here's how this works. You just go to truebill.com/invest. That way they know you came from us. And it's free. Just sign up, click on the email address box right there and get started. And then it's going to pull all of your subscriptions in. And you can even cancel all of your subscriptions in one easy to navigate interface. So you'll see all of them. You can connect your bank accounts, everything right there, and they will do it for you. They will even cancel the accounts for you if you don't even know what you're paying for. So you can lower your bills in three easy steps just by using Truebill. You can see your AT&T bill. You can see all this stuff right there. It's super easy to do. Take care of all of your finances under one roof and be a smarter budgeteer. So I want to thank them for their support. Go over to truebill.com/invest to take care of your finances today. Grover loves it. He saved so much money on, because he was subscribed to so many different dog bone companies and he didn't even know about it. And once we got into his bank account, like, Grover, what are you doing, man?
Well, the thing is,
I'm sorry.
You can't sleep that soundly with bad finances.
Right. Well, now that we got them all taken care of, Grover's like, thank you. Thank you, Daddy, for getting my finances all sorted out. I said, no, Grover, thanks to Truebill. So thank you to Truebill. All right, let's get to the election results now. So all signs right now pointing to 95% of the precincts in. It's up to about 96 right now. We're keeping our eye on exactly as Democrats are about to control the Senate. You might watch, some conservative news media right now that's saying, well, there's still a chance. And you might have President Trump out there tweeting that this is all going to be this is all fraudulent. And that's what he was doing overnight, of course, and calling on Vice President Pence to make sure that this is going to be thrown out and that he will become president of the United States. But right now, all signs point to a blue wave. And I just want to set the stage. Let me just put this in context for you, why this is such a big deal. Forget stimulus for just a second. President Trump controlled the White House. The House of Representatives did Republicans. The Senate, Republican, Republican, Republican under President Trump. Lost the House, lost the White House, lost the Senate. The leader of the Republican Party is President Trump. And if these exit polls are solidified, which I imagine they will be, and what mattered most to these voters, turns out QAnon conspiracy theories didn't add up. So Kelly Loeffler campaigning with QAnon conspiracy supporters, KKK members espousing all of these conspiracy theories didn't play well with suburban voters, particularly suburban white women who were like, you know what? Okay, maybe we supported President Trump, but we're kind of tired of this now. We actually care more about our family than QAnon. Okay. And so I think that Mitch here, I'm going to put this up on the screen. I can't believe I'm going to do this, but this is Josh Holmes, worked for Mitch McConnell. Okay. In his office, Josh Holmes says, suburbs, my friends, the suburbs. I feel like a one trick pony, but here we are again. We went from talking about jobs and the economy to QAnon election conspiracies in 4 short years. As it turns out, they were listening. Yeah. So guess what? People do care more about jobs than they do QAnon conspiracies. Isn't that a shock? I mean, I know that might come as a surprise to some people, but yes, in fact, that's exactly what happened. So as these polls continue to finalize this morning, we did hear from Raphael Warnock, who came out and basically took his celebratory lap last night, actually a few short hours ago, as he was projected to win. So Raphael Warnock is the first black senator elected to Georgia, to the Senate from the state of Georgia. Historic. I mean, think of this, right? Think of Georgia electing a black senator. Think how times have changed in that state. So here is Raphael Warnock, the Reverend, speaking and saying he's going to stand for all Americans and all Georgians when he votes, and those that cast a vote for him and those that didn't.
So I come before you tonight as a man who knows that the improbable journey that led me to this place in this historic moment in America could only happen here. We were told that we couldn't win this election. But tonight, we prove that with hope, hard work, and the people by our side, anything is possible. And so, Georgia, I am honored by the faith that you have shown in me. And I promise you this tonight. I am going to the Senate to work for all of Georgia. No matter who you cast your vote for in this election, in this moment in American history, Washington has a choice to make. In fact, all of us have a choice to make. Will we continue to divide, distract, and dishonor one another? Or will we love our neighbors as we love ourselves? Here's what I know. I know that we can beat this pandemic with science and good old-fashioned common sense. I know we can rebuild a fairer economy by respecting the dignity of work and the workers who do it. An economy that honors those whom we now call essential workers by paying them an essential wage and providing for them essential benefits. And so to everyone out there struggling today, whether you voted for me or not, know this. I hear you. I see you. And every day I'm in the United States Senate, I will fight for you.
You go. That's one of two new senators from Georgia, Raphael Warnock, who stunned last night with a victory over Kelly Loeffler. Who President Trump was campaigning with her just the other day, called her Karen. I don't know if you caught that on stage. He was really behind her. He was really supporting. Thank you, Karen. Karen is here, everyone. Karen Loeffler. Mr. Trump, her name's Kelly. Oh, okay. Okay, just want to make sure we got that right. But again, these QAnon conspiracies blamed for losing this Kelly Loeffler seat. Josh Holmes, the former chief of staff campaign manager for Mitch McConnell, said that focus on QAnon election conspiracies played a pretty big role in the failed messaging in the Peach State suburbs. True. And so where are we right now with stimulus? We'll get to that in just a second. But the results still trickling in at this hour. And as we see the results in these final precincts, they're almost completed here. John Ossoff is ready to take the helm here. So we're waiting for, we'll keep our eyes here on the live feed to see when John Ossoff comes up to give a speech, which could happen any moment now, we're hearing. So John Ossoff could be coming out to take his victory lap very, very shortly as these precincts are wrapping everything up. Real question will come down to, I mean, even though he's projected to win at this hour, a number of different outlets have projected Ossoff to win. Some of the questions, if is it a little too close, would we have to wait for the additional ballots? Are there enough of those outstanding ballots that would sway things one way or the other? It doesn't look like that the case right now. And there's another question circulating this morning. I know I can't believe I'm going to say this, but there is a possibility in all of this, which is what happens if, could there actually be a second runoff race? Clayton, don't say it. Please don't say it. Could we have a second runoff race in Georgia? The answer is yes. It is possible. I'll give you how it's possible, but it's extremely unlikely. So here's how it would be possible. The only way a second runoff race could happen is if both candidates receive the exact same number of votes in this runoff. In case of an exact tie, another runoff is held only with only the tied race. So Kelly Loeffler is done. Warnock is in. Now, if John Ossoff and David Perdue somehow magically got the exact same votes, we would have to go through this whole thing again. But that doesn't seem likely. But hey, who knows? It's 2020, 2021. Crazier things have happened, right? But John Ossoff ready to take the helm of this. And the ball, like, looks like the horse is already out of the barn. Or how many idioms can we think of today? The ball is already in the hoop. The puck is already in the goal. Members of the Senate and the House of Representatives are ready to take up stimulus as early as this week and get this thing done. Here is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on the progressive side. Hello with a sunshine avatar emoji. It's a new day, she says. Who's ready to push? Ready to push for retroactive COVID relief. Push for student loan cancellation. Push for climate justice, health care, voting rights, ending the death penalty. What policies do you want to push for? So I'll ask you. It's a good question AOC is asking. Let me know in the chat. right now. What do you think? What is the most important thing that you'd like to see pushed for by Democrats right away? Now, let me just be clear. President-elect Biden is not going to have an easy time of it. I mean, the Senate is 50-50 today. Mitch McConnell will lose power. But in order to pass massive legislation, you need 60 votes. You need a supermajority. You need 60 votes to avoid a filibuster. Now, on simple legislation, like confirmations of cabinet members, judge appointments, you need 51 votes. That's it. But on major legislation, like infrastructure and those types of things, you would need a 60-vote majority. But on some of the more simple legislation, you wouldn't need as much. And, of course, there are the executive actions that will unfold under President-elect Biden. The real question, of course, is President Trump, the wild card in all of this, which we'll get to in just a moment. But as we look live at these election, these precincts, this is in Georgia, as they're continuing to finalize the results this morning in Gwinnett County. Again, thousands of ballots still to be counted in Gwinnett County, but it's not enough, according to the projections, to do anything. Consistency. Thank you for your super chat. Says, I was happy until you said there's a possibility of a tie. I'm sorry about that. Hey, I got to keep it real, right? I can't lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you. Janine Miranda says
healthcare for all.
They're going by Sophia. Oh, healthcare for all. Jody Mauritia says, I'm so tired of politics. I know, but you know what? I am too. I fell in love with politics when I was in high school, and that's why I became a political reporter. And if you think about everything that's important in our lives, it all comes back to the political structure in this country. You know, why, if we don't have healthcare for all in this country, we don't have a meaningful healthcare system. It starts in Washington. It starts with getting people thrown out of that leadership position that aren't bought and sold by these big corporations. It starts with getting these people standing up for progressive issues that we care for on this show, which is Medicare for all, you know, universal health care for every one of you watching right now. It is ridiculous in this country that we do not have health care for every American. Again, go to Canada, go to Europe, go anywhere else where they take care of their people. And, by the way, take care of their people during a pandemic. Like in Canada, $2,000 a month in stimulus to be able to make sure that their people are taken care of. A report yesterday showed an increasing number of Americans moving to Canada. I wonder why. Sure, it's colder, but you're taken care of. Bella Linda Edwards says, oh my God, it's time for universal health care and free college. Finally, let's push for it. There is no reason why the only industrialized country in the world, the United States, can't provide free college to its children so that they're not saddled with massive student loan debt when they get out. If you want to become a lawyer and not be saddled with student loan debt. Become a lawyer and start with $0 in student loan debt when you get out. You want to become a doctor? Great. $0 in student loan debt. You want to become a teacher? Great. Get out and not have to pay student loan debt back. To become a teacher, which your salary is already too low. So, going off on that. So we just heard from Raphael Warnock. Interestingly, we also heard from Gabe Sterling last night. Gabe Sterling, who'd been encouraging, you know, he's the second most important person in Georgia on these election results. He'd been pushing in Georgia to get Republicans to go out and vote. He's a Republican. Heck, he worked for a Republican administration, right? He supported President Trump. So he says the reason that Republicans lost in Georgia, here he is, he is the Georgia election advisor. He says the reason that they lost, well, I don't want to put words in his mouth. I want you to hear what he says in this interview and why Republicans lost in Georgia.
Secretary of State is joining me now. And Gabriel, first of all, thank you for your time, because I know you're at least the second busiest man in the state right now. But you were tweeting this morning and you were speaking yesterday, literally begging Georgians to go out and vote. You tweeted that again this morning. And you also said, please go ahead and vote for the Republican candidates. If one of the Republican candidates or both lose their seats in the Senate, who would be to blame?
They have. So who is now to blame?
Well, I'll speak for outside of my role working for the state. This is a personal opinion that'll fall squarely on the shoulders of President Trump and his actions since November 3rd.
And why do you say that?
Well, when you tell people your vote doesn't count, it's been stolen, and people start to believe that, and then you go to the two senators and tell them to ask the Secretary of State to resign and trigger a civil war inside the Republican Party, we need Republicans to unite, all of that stems from his decision-making since the November 3rd election.
And you say that this all started with his calls, the president's calls for the Secretary of State Raffensperger to resign, and you believe that he single-handedly divided the party?
Yes.
So we also talked about...
He's not mincing words. The reporter's like, anything else? Oh, no. You mean, yes, he totally divided the party? Oh, okay. Okay, next question.
The fact that you spent a significant amount of time, probably more than you would have ever imagined, fact-checking the president. Tell me what this process has been like for you and just how much time you actually did spend fact-checking the president and his wild conspiracy theories.
Well, the big problem you have is that people don't understand elections. Elected officials understand elections. Even people who are in elections for a long time don't know all the pieces and parts. So it's easy to exploit people's ignorance on those fronts. And it did turn into a giant game of whack-a-mole. If you ever played whack-a-mole, it's the same five or six whack-a-moles that are coming up. And we had to do the same thing. I had to knock down State Farm four, five, six, seven times. The fact that Dominion machines didn't do those things over and over again. So it's continuing to come, and we kept on knocking it down, and he just keeps on persisting and making these false claims.
And Wolf, Gabriel Sterling here also telling me that we are potentially in for a long night, especially seeing the numbers coming in, the absentee ballots from the deep blue counties of Fulton and DeKalb, and that is where the Republicans have taken the heaviest hits. And we're not going to see many more big buckets like that where the Democrats are going to get the votes. Wolf?
So that was Gabe Sterling, who was said, like, the blame for the Republicans losing in Georgia falls squarely in the lap of President Trump. And I don't think it can be denied. I don't think it can be denied. He had an opportunity over the past few months to push his Republican members of the Senate to stand for the American people and pass meaningful stimulus. He didn't. He waited till they passed that crappy $600 bill and then suddenly decided to talk about it after they passed it at Christmas time, threw everything in disarray, caused people to delay in their unemployment, and then also came out and was telling people that the election didn't. It's a phony. It's fake in Georgia. So don't vote. But then also vote. It made no sense. Created confusion. And so a lot of people just simply didn't vote. Like, we're not going to vote. It's fraudulent. My man, President Trump, says it's fraudulent. I like what JT said here in the chat just a second ago. Let's see, where is it? L Pro says, L Pro is a channel member, says, I'm so tired of everyone pointing fingers at each other. Examine and investigate so we can put an end to the drama because it'll never end. I agree. Like, again, I have no dog in this hunt, right? Like, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I care about America. I care about the people of America. And so if there was massive fraud happening in one particular precinct or something else, yes, please investigate it. We want to know. Those people should be in prison. Present your evidence and let's do it. Now, you know, the president has filed upwards of almost close to 70 lawsuits, and he's lost all of them. And the most recent one in Georgia was just thrown out by the judge. And remember, almost all of these judges were appointed by Trump. So if they were like Obama judges, you know, it might even add another whole layer of drama to this. But they were Trump-appointed judges looking at the evidence or lack of evidence. So, yes, investigate if there was any fraud. Please, please, please. But that's continuing today. So President Trump is, again, once again, calling on his vice president to invalidate these election results. He, of course, the other night, if you missed this, I'll play it again for you. Grover absolutely loved this video, by the way. I apologize. Grover. That's what he does. What he does when he likes a piece of footage. Sorry, folks. That's what you have when you have a 10-month-old. And that's what you do when you don't have a big television studio and billionaires running your equipment for you. So here's President Trump at the podium talking about Mike Pence, and then we've got new updates on this Mike Pence news. So here's the president the other night.
And I hope Mike Pence comes through for us.
Got an echo, Clayton.
I hope that our great vice president comes through for us. He's a great guy. Of course, if he doesn't come through, I won't like him quite as much.
Sorry about the little echo. I had to drag that file in late. So that was the president saying, I'm not going to like him that much. And, you know, he's drawing the clear battle lines here in Georgia as, not in Georgia, in the election, as in the future of the Republican Party. I mean, those lines have been drawn now. And here he is tweeting just a short time ago about Mike Pence. Take a look. He says, if Vice President Mike Pence comes through for us, we will win the presidency. Many states want to decertify the mistake they made in certifying incorrect and even fraudulent numbers in a process not approved by their state legislatures, which it must be. Mike can send it back. I had to read that tweet like five times. I still don't understand it, but I need, you know what? I need like Google Translate. Tell me translate some of this grammar sometimes.
At least Twitter's watching out for you. This claim about election fraud is disputed.
Right. Right. Thank you, Twitter. Thank you, Twitter, for your, thank you, Twitter, for making sure that you're censoring things. That's what we want from our social media. You know, I need Twitter to tell me when something is fraudulent. I need Facebook to tell me when they're fact checking stuff. Yeah. Who are your fact checkers? Oh, their fact checkers are former members of the military industrial complex. Are they? They actually are. Thank you. Thank you for fact checking us for us. Thank you, Facebook and Twitter. How about I just read his tweet and make my own determination, do my own research. I need you to tell me whether or not he's spouting fraudulent things. Okay. So he wants Mike Pence today, the certification process. He wants Mike Pence today to get up there and create some extra constitutional power that he doesn't have. According to the New York Times, during their meeting yesterday, Vice President Pence told the president, Mr. President, they had lunch yesterday. I don't have the power. I don't have the power to change the result. I'm simply a ceremonial figure reading the results. What is he going to do? Get up there and make something up? I mean, there are people wondering, hey, can the president and the vice president get up there and just open the envelope and say, hey, the winner is me and Donald. Can I see that envelope? No, you can't. That's what it says. Like an Academy Award moment. And the winner is Shakespeare in Love. That's all the power he has, is to read these things. They're already certified by the states. So he's saying that all these states want to go back and now change this. We will win the presidency. Many states want to decertify the mistake they made in certifying incorrect and even fraudulent numbers in a process not approved by their state legislatures, which it must be. Mike can send it back. Okay. All right. So we continue to watch these results in Georgia come in. And if you're just joining us, it is a blue wave as Democrats are set to take over the Senate. So I want to go through now and explain why this is such a big deal. I mean, number one, on the stimulus front, of course, that this is a big deal. Raphael Warnock, first black senator elected from the state of Georgia, you know, historic moment in the South. Think about that for a moment. And of course, John Ossoff, on his way to Washington as well. And that gives the power to the Democrats. And again, if you're just joining us, that means Mitch McConnell, who is the Senate Majority Leader, is heading back to the ocean with his little tail between his legs as Senate Majority Leader. The man who, during Christmas, couldn't bring it to himself to bring you $2,000 stimulus checks when he saw so much pain and suffering out there, was more bought and sold by big corporations. By the way, the Financial Times this morning has a great piece about the interesting number of these senators who are going to get up and object to the certification of the president of the United States, Joe Biden. And it turns out these 13 senators managed to get tons of money from big businesses, right? Like Home Depot and Walmart and all of these big companies. And apparently all those CEOs that had donated money to these people got on a big phone call by the Yale School of Business, organized by them. And all these CEOs are like, wait a second. We're trying to figure out the return on investment of us donating millions of dollars to you, Josh Hawley and others, and we're not going to bankroll your campaigns anymore. Because what do businesses like? What is Wall Street like? Wall Street loves certainty. They don't like things rocking the boat for business. And that's exactly what they're doing when you have Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz and these guys getting up there objecting to the legitimacy of the presidency. And so you have all of these big businesses saying, we're pulling our money back. So maybe you'll see a change from these guys. Maybe you'll see these Republican senators who've gone off the deep end suddenly saying, you're going to pull your money from our campaigns? No, Joe Biden's our president. Joe won. I was just joking about that whole I'm going to object thing. You're going to take your money away from me? Okay, Joe's the president. So we'll watch that. I'm curious to see how these companies actually start to pull back their money. It's very easy to see how much money they're making. And millions of dollars went into these super PACs that funneled directly to these campaigns of these senators who are objecting. So keep your eye on that space. I think it's fascinating. This rift that we're seeing right now in the Republican Party is stunning. And, of course, the protests are emerging right now in Washington, D.C. The election protests have begun. There are thousands of people descending on D.C. as we speak. They have the National Guard called in. And you had some reports, even Ryan, you had the Washington Post reporting about some of the things that were unfolding there. It's pretty funny, actually. They said for nearly 8 hours yesterday in these D.C. protests, speakers repeated election conspiracy theories with bullhorns, closed their eyes to pray, and share discount codes for MyPillow. The MyPillow guy. So seriously, they were sharing discount codes for MyPillow and shouting at conspiracy theories all throughout D.C., saying that this election is fraudulent and they should be, you know, America should be ashamed of itself, on and on and on. And they went after Mitt Romney. So Mitt Romney was at the airport yesterday and MAGA supporters came and attacked him. Not attacked, but started getting up in his face while he was waiting for a flight at the airport. Listen to this.
How you doing?
Put your mask on.
Don't tell me what to do.
Please put your mask on. It's required by law in this airport.
I'm standing 6 feet away.
I'm sorry. It's required in this
airport. I'll tell you what, because you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do it because I want to have a chat with you. Why aren't you supporting President Trump?
I do support the things President Trump does that I think I agree with.
You're not supporting him.
I'm sorry, I do agree with many of the things he is for, and I support those things.
Are you going to support him in the fraudulent votes?
The election? No, I'm not.
Why not?
Because it's a long story. You're going to get a chance to hear my remarks in Congress.
It's going to be a real long
story. I'm sorry, can you say that again?
It's a long story, but we have a constitution. The constitutional process is clear. I'll follow the constitution, and I'll explain all that when we meet in Congress.
Well, you haven't supported him, and you didn't even support him in the election.
No, I did not.
Why?
For reasons I explained at the time.
You were voted in as a conservative to represent the conservative constituents. Period.
No, that's not how the constitution works.
It is. You're voted in to represent us. You work for us. Am I wrong?
I work for the people of Utah.
Exactly. And I am from Utah.
Yes, well, but you're not the only one.
I voted. I know. There's a lot of people that didn't vote for you. We'll make sure of that one.
Of course I'll be fired. That's totally perfect.
You admit it. You know it. You know it's coming.
They didn't want you in there anyway. So to be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if you weren't even voted in legally.
Trump is a juggernaut. Your legacy is nothing.
You're a joke. Absolute joke. It's disgusting shame.
Thank you, Karen.
And your little friend Cox too is also. You know what? He assaulted me last night. Cox did.
I'm sure he did. Your little friend Cox. Say what you want about me, but don't talk about my little friend Cox. Sorry, had to. Oh, man. Oh. You little... It didn't stop. Didn't stop because when Karen then got on the flight, apparently everyone on the flight knew that Mitt Romney was on the flight, and it didn't stop there. So these MAGA supporters decided to make his flight miserable all the way back to Salt Lake City.
Yeah, no!
Man, I bet he wished he had noise-canceling headphones right now.
Right. Get out my cans. I'm gonna watch the West Wing. Oh, man. America. So, folks, I mean, I know we're laughing at it, but I mean, what you're witnessing right here is the destruction of the Republican Party. And I try not to be hyperbolic with this stuff and over the top, but this is what you're seeing. I mean, you're seeing these MAGA supporters who are all in for Trump, who are in for Trumpism, Josh Hawley, the Ted Cruz wing, those people that will support the stuff that President Trump has been pushing. And frankly, you know, populist viewpoints. Fine. But you have people like Mitt Romney, you have Mitch McConnell, you have these entrenched senators and members of the House that are now going to be crushed. I mean, and that's what this rhetoric was flowing out of their mouths last night in Washington, D.C. I mean, calling for these people to be tossed out. I mean, this just watch some of these protests last night in D.C. And this morning. I mean, they're there this morning. Calling on these Democrats. We're coming for you, Democrats, and we're coming for you, Republicans. Listen.
And we are going to fight like hell against the tyrannical Democrats and any Republicans who do deals with them. It will be your peril if you underestimate this movement again.
It will be your peril. Stop the steal.
Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. And we feel like there's a lot of fraud going on here. And as a business owner, I've done really well under Trump. And the shutdowns, like, crippled me for a minute and made me panic. I don't want any more of that. And I wanted to support Donald Trump. And see what this big surprise on the 6th is.
They need to stop the steal tomorrow. Stop the steal. Stop the steal.
Oh, I'm sorry. And when Trump said, come to Washington, D.C., it's going to be wild, okay? And, I mean, we haven't been to any of the rallies. We've been huge Trump supporters. But when he said, everybody come to D.C., we felt like we had to come. So here we are. The Republicans are just as corrupt Absolutely. As the Democrats, and we're finding that out. Okay, it is the swamp, and this
you're
this
just has now been finding that out
against the people. The government has been at this for years, and they've been sucking off of the government tit, and everybody's been benefiting except the people. And finally, Trump steps in and says, "No more of this," and that's what we're all about.
That's why we love him. He's for the people.
There is a process for this in the Constitution, Article 2, and that's what they're going to do tomorrow.
You know, it's funny to hear someone like that talk. I mean, in many ways, we have a lot more in common than we have that we don't have in common. I absolutely agree that these politicians have been corrupt, funneling money from big corporations, funneling money to Wall Street, continuing the military-industrial complex. I think in many ways, if he and I sat down and had a discussion, sir, do you want to end foreign wars like I do? Sir, do you want people to have health care in this country like I do? Sir, do you want to make sure our kids are not saddled with massive student loan debt and they can actually have access to quality education and free public college? I bet he would agree, especially if we stopped all of these foreign wars and pulled billions of dollars back from foreign governments, and we could actually reinvest that money back at home. I think there's a lot we could agree on. And you have these members of Congress who, you know, are beneficiaries of this amazing healthcare system, right? They have this universal healthcare. They have the socialist healthcare that they decry and say, we're a blockade against socialism. Like, you know, you listen to David Perdue and you listen to Kelly Loeffler make their case in Georgia saying, we are the last firewall against socialism in this country. A socialist control of this country. So you're doing fine right now then? You're doing fine with Wall Street running everything? Massive student loan debt with a pandemic that's out of control? With an infrastructure that's crumbling? With Washington enriching itself? The military-industrial complex bombing other countries? You're doing fine? But you're worried about having universal health care? and a $15 minimum wage and a better climate for our future? That's socialism? No, I think you need to start studying what that word means. Because that's not this. So I think, you know, this outrage, in many ways, I agree with. I think going about it the wrong way by wanting to invalidate elections, et cetera, is an affront to our democracy. But I understand their outrage. That's why this show exists. We're sick and tired of people like this. We're sick and tired of, you know, Mitch McConnell. We're sick and tired of these politicians who, like, for instance, Senator Schumer, who in one breath supports $2,000 stimulus checks and then turns right around and votes for a Defense Authorization Act and sends billions of dollars off. Stands with Mitch McConnell and votes for a Defense Authorization Act. But this Republican Party is changing, and I think you're about to see. So what happens today with Mike Pence? What happens today with the certification of votes? I mean, why do you think those buildings are being boarded up right now? Because they're worried about protests. They're worried about violent protests. And the president has been helping to stoke these things as well. Jody Urbus says, a lot of people believe socialism brings free handouts versus uplifting everyone in the richest country in the world. Yeah, I think people think that socialism is free handouts. It's not. Socialism is the control of the entire process. And there's never in this history of the world been a purely socialist country, an example of Karl Marx socialism. It's never existed. It's been talked about. It's never happened. And so when you look at these countries in Europe that have a much higher standard of living than the United States, free public college, a universal healthcare system that provides for its people, like I said, a higher standard of living, I mean, almost no crime, safe for families, high wages. You can walk the streets at night and not be murdered. And we're seeing record-setting number of murders across the United States right now. That's, you know, those countries are not socialist. They're market-based economies. But they have, yes, they tax the wealthy. They have a tax system that you pay a little bit more in taxes. But guess what? The people are taken care of.
It's basically,
and then everyone is lifted up.
It's basically the same thing that we do. I was just figuring this out this morning because I was kind of curious as to what it broke down monthly. But it's basically the same thing we do for our Congress or senators. We pay them $15,000 per month and they get free health care. They get the best health care. And all we're asking for is the exact same thing.
Yeah, $15,000 a month we pay them. By the way, they just gave themselves a raise in the latest COVID bill so that they have now more health care taken care of. They doubled the amount of health care that they have. They have the best health care. President Trump got to experience his health care firsthand when he was flown to Walter Reed Medical Center. Rudy Giuliani had socialized medicine taking care of him. That's what we should all have access to. Instead, we've got many of you sitting here with medical bills that are $3,000 and $4,000 a month, or prescription drug medicine prices $3,000 and $4,000, $5,000 a month. Are you kidding me? In America, that's what we're talking about. So again, if you are just tuning in, we've been watching the election results come in from Georgia, and a blue wave has taken over the United States. And let me just put this in perspective again. If you just joined us. When President Trump ran the presidency, they had the House of Representatives, they had the Senate. They had total control. President Trump, in the past 2 years, lost the House of Representatives to Democrats, lost the White House to Democrats, and now lost the Senate to Democrats in that amount of time. That is unbelievable. So who's to blame in all of this? It falls right in the lap of President Trump. As Gabe Sterling said last night, as John Harwood, who has been covering this, he put it like this in his tweet. On December 15th, McConnell publicly acknowledged Biden's victory. A week later, Trump blasted COVID relief deal, making pointless demands for $2,000 checks. The night that I said that on CNN, it appeared he wanted to hurt McConnell on the way out, damaging Georgia Senate candidates. This checks out so far. Well, guess what? I was saying the same thing here on the show. Did I not? David, did I not say that this, he doesn't care about the American people. He just wants to screw Mitch McConnell because McConnell screwed him by certifying, by saying that he is the president-elect.
Ego.
It was his way of saying, I'm done. Narcissism. I'm done. I'm out. And I'm taking the whole place down with me. There's a, you know, there's some scary stuff happening, folks. Tomorrow, well, today actually, and into tomorrow, there's a chilling message that's, and again, who, you know, CBS News is reporting this, but there's a chilling threat right now sent into, that was being sent to air traffic controllers overnight, vowing revenge for the killing of the Iranian general, Soleimani. And multiple air traffic controllers in New York heard a chilling threat on Monday, an audio obtained exclusively by CBS News, that says, quote, "We are flying a plane into the Capitol on Wednesday. Soleimani will be avenged." So, of course, they are on high alert. And Wednesday, of course, is today. And that is the day when they're going to be certifying election results. And all these protesters are in D.C. So there's a lot of anxiety floating around right now. Who knows if this threat is credible or not? It's not clear who sent this threat. The Pentagon and other agencies were briefed on this. It was a digitized voice recording. They said that the threat was designed to suggest hitting the Capitol building on the same day that Congress is set to count the Electoral College results. So the FBI right now is not commenting on it. It says it takes all threats of violence seriously. To public safety. But today, of course, we're going to be watching in the Senate what happens with Mike Pence and the certification of these election results. During their lunch yesterday, according to the New York Times, Mike Pence told the president, look, I can't do anything about this. I'm sorry. I can't do anything about this. It is what it is. And the president was apparently not happy about that. But members of Congress are already lining up and calling for change. So Ro Khanna tweeting out just a short time ago this morning saying, thank you, activists and grassroots organizations. Thank you, Stacey Abrams. Now we must deliver. $15 minimum wage, Medicare expansion, $2,000 monthly checks. Do you see that there? Monthly checks. Student loan forgiveness. Free college. A real start on GND. On the Green New Deal, and an end to Afghan and the Yemen war, $2 trillion infrastructure package, tax millionaires on their capital gains. There you go. You know, there's a question this morning as to whether or not Wall Street would be worried about this. Wall Street has been excited about a blue wave because Wall Street likes stability. And so you're hearing from Republicans now basically saying, oh no, look out. Wall Street's going to be upset about a Biden presidential win and a Senate controlled by Democrats. Look out. The market is going to freak out. And by the way, would you care if Wall Street got a little, you know, a little hot under the collar? I wouldn't. Well, but Biden, that's not going
to
happen. This is
Biden assured them before he even, like, he was like, oh, no, Wall Street will be fine. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do anything to you guys. Don't worry.
He said, quote, nothing will fundamentally change. Nothing is going to change with Wall Street. The only thing that might happen is that they're going to pay a little bit more in taxes. But they are going to do just fine. And by the way, Wall Street likes stability, which is why you had all of these business leaders coming out over the past 24 hours slamming these these Senate Republicans who are going to try to disqualify the election, saying, we donated millions to you for stability. We don't like this instability. So anyway, here was Lou Dobbs saying, I don't know what kind of stuff he's spinning, but take a listen to this. I was laughing.
Working with a Republican Senate, because he himself might have reservations about the extra pressure put on him to appease, you know, the Bernie Sanders, the Elizabeth Warrens. It might be a leap, but that it might be better for him with that Senate in Republican hands. Your thoughts?
I think he would probably say, Neil, I truly believe this, that he'd much rather have Democrats to work with at any cost than Republicans. What will be easiest for him is if he can look toward Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and say, you know, they're in charge of this agenda, and I can preside well above the fray. We also are looking at, when you look at this in terms of markets, we have had a period of nullification, if you will, We haven't had the usual sensory responses that we normally would to a obvious and at least I should say ostensible winner of the presidential election on November 3rd, because it's been disputed and contested from the very beginning. So we have spent 2 months, and these markets and investors have spent 2 months without formulating what would be traditionally their response to these stimuli. And the stimuli I'm referring to would be a Democratic victory for the presidency. It would be Democrat control of the Senate as well as the House if they were to prevail in Georgia.
Sorry, I can't take it. I thought I could take it. I can't anymore.
Oh, no, but you can take... You can take that every day for a week, but that. You can't take that for a minute? Come on, man.
I can't. Just spit it out. I mean, look, you're a broadcaster. Come on, man. All right. So before we go, as we're looking at these results, folks, come in. Again, if you're just tuning in, John Ossoff... With all the precincts reporting, he's projected to, of course, be the winner in Georgia. Reverend Raphael Warnock, also the winner. This is a blue wave. And again, I'm going to put this in perspective. The president had control of House of Representatives, the Senate, the White House, loses all of them. And there's squarely one person you can point to in this for the failure in the Georgia Senate runoff races. And that is President Trump for sowing all of this doubt about the election process. We heard that last night from Gabe Sterling from the Republicans. He is a Republican, saying that that's exactly why there was so much fear about, well, I'm not going to vote because my vote won't count. And then, of course, Josh Holmes, who is the former campaign manager for Mitch McConnell, majority leader, said, suburbs, my friends, the suburbs. I feel like a one-trick pony, but here we are again. We went from talking about jobs and the economy to QAnon election conspiracies in 4 short years. As it turns out, they were listening. So yeah, people in the suburbs were listening and didn't vote for these Republican candidates, and that's why they lost. Representative Jayapal, who says, we are ready. Let's go. Here we are, ready to get started. Racial justice, guaranteed health care for all, money out of politics and democracy, reform, bold climate justice, universal child care, paid leave, domestic workers, Bill of Rights, pay equity, public education, free college, just getting started. And AOC just a short time ago, waking up, ready to push for retroactive COVID relief, push for student loan cancellation, climate justice, health care, voting rights, end the death penalty. So how quickly could we see stimulus checks, these $2,000 stimulus checks that we were promised? So let me give you the timeline. Georgia counties will have until January 15th to certify the results. The Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, has until January 22nd to certify the state results. But there could be court fights or moves by officials across Georgia's 159 counties that draws this out until January 22nd. We hope that's not the case. But if they certify these results much more quickly, that means then that they would be sworn in as senators in Washington. So obviously the 117th Congress has already been sworn in. So the winners of the Georgia runoff will be sworn in after their victory is certified. David Perdue's term ended on Sunday. His seat will remain vacant until the winner is decided. Kelly Loeffler will retain her seat in the Senate until 2023 if she wins, but of course she lost. So now we just have to wait for the certification process. It could happen very quickly, we're hoping. It could happen in the next few days or early next week, at which time they could actually get this stimulus package on the floor. And I'm telling you what, if President Trump wants to say sayonara to Mitch McConnell in a big, big way, this would be a huge middle finger to Mitch McConnell. For President Trump to sign a Democratic $2,000 stimulus bill, standing with some of these senators who supported it and Democrats who supported these Republicans, and for President Trump to sign a $2,000 stimulus package as his final act as president, and a big middle finger to Mitch McConnell, I mean, that is like a storybook ending. If he wants to ride out and actually start his new Patriot Party or announce that he's going to run for president in 2024, that would be one heck of a way to do it. So how quickly they move on this is anyone's guess. My hope is that they get it done pretty quickly. I do want to show you one thing. So I'm going to look at how the Senate is going to switch. We've been talking, obviously, about Mitch McConnell all morning. He's going to be leaving with his tail between his legs as majority leader. We all know about that. But what about these other positions? There's a lot of other positions that we should talk about. So let's go to our trusty, as we watch these ballot counts finalize. They're resuming, but nothing is expected to change in these particular counties, especially Fulton County, et cetera. And all these precincts are pretty much wrapping things up in Georgia. So let me go to our trusty little slate. Here's my little picture of a turtle. As we say goodbye to Mitch McConnell, I want to show you what this would look like now with these seats being switched. So let's just look on the Appropriations Committee. We have Senator Shelby. Can't even spell today. Sorry. Let's try that again. Shelby. And that would switch over to Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont. Okay. So that would go from R to D. That's on the appropriation side. What about banking? Okay, banking. This would go from Crapo, possibly. These are possibles right now, to Senator Brown. So you can see how this is already starting to shape up. Like there's all of these committee seats, Barrasso on, let me go to some of the more important ones. Let me talk about budget. This one's the most interesting to me, the budget chairman. So right now it's Enzi on the Republican side. Guess who's rumored, can anyone guess in the chat who's rumored to take over the budget committee seat for the Democrats?
Budget, maybe
if anyone
Warren?
Says... Sanders.
No way.
Yep. Bernie Sanders, folks. This is a huge, I mean, this is why this is not just about Mitch McConnell. I mean, this is a huge deal in putting in people that can actually stand for the American people, getting Bernie Sanders in there. We also have like Homeland Security. I mean, getting rid of somebody like Johnson on Homeland. So Johnson, say goodbye to Johnson, and switching to possibly Peters. And on Judiciary, goodbye, Lindsey Graham. Goodbye, Lindsey Graham. Hello, Dick Durbin. So this is what we're looking at this morning, folks. I mean, this is not just about Mitch McConnell. It's not just about this guy up here saying goodbye. It's about all of these switches now in the Senate. These are some big, big changes that we're about to see. Some of these big chairman turnover spots with the Democrats expected to win. So my thanks to all of you for subscribing to the channel, for following us on Twitch, on Facebook. But if you're here on YouTube, great. Please subscribe to the channel. By the way, many of you are asking.
60 new members today. 62.
So yeah, I was about to say on the 62 new members. Thank you so much. I was about to say on the membership side, many people were asking in Super Chat. C Mills says, I love your show so much, but I can't figure out how to become a member so I can comment. Please help. And you were right about who's to blame. Thank you, C Mills. So here's how you become a channel member on YouTube. Just go to morninginvest.com/join. It's very easy to do. You can support our show, independent journalism, covering the stories and news that you will not see in the mainstream media. We will give you the nuance and the truth behind these stories. I was a political reporter for most of my life, and so I've covered this stuff inside and out for many, many years, and I've seen how the mainstream media spins its narratives to you, and I've seen these corrupt politicians that don't work for you. So we need to demand change this morning. Call for real change in Washington, and looks like we are about to have it as these Democrats have now swept control of all chambers of Congress right now and the White House, and when we could see meaningful stimulus coming in the next few weeks. I am really excited about this. So just want to check any last-minute adjustments here, make sure that we have nothing that I missed. I like to be a completist. It's like me when I go to the grocery store, my wife can't stand it because I have to walk up and down every aisle. Or like when we go to like Costco or something, I have to like check every aisle. Like, she's like, why are you in the rice section? I'm like, I have completion issues. I need to go up. I need to see if I need a new rice cooker, or I need to see if I need a new pack of pens.
That is so funny.
No, I know exactly where I'm. I know exactly where I'm going. We're going to get eggs and milk, and let's get out of here.
Yep, Jennifer's the same way. Like, I've always been that guy too. I want to go down every aisle. Like, but we don't need everything. I'm like, and it's going to take us like a half hour longer at the store. And I'm like, yeah, but I just, I have to walk down every aisle. If you want to go to the outer perimeter, go ahead. I'll meet you at the end.
Exactly. So that's how I am with this show. Like, I hate getting off the air of my show, knowing that I missed something really important that I wish I could have talked about. So we do continue our conversations over on our Discord channel, by the way. So we do have a Discord, a private Discord for all of our channel members, for anyone on who wants to join it. You can. We continue the conversation all day over there. So we'll put that up on the screen as well for our private Discord. Come on over and join us and continue the conversation. But I try to read all of your comments here on the channel. So I really appreciate you you supporting us so much here. It really means the world to me. And thank you for supporting independent journalism as we say our goodbyes. Grover wants to say goodbye as well. He loves you. He'll be over in Discord as well. Morninginvest.com/Discord. So check it out. And our thanks to Truebill for sponsoring today's show. Get your finances in order by going to Truebill.com/invest. That's right. Oh, and one more little thing. I forgot to do this earlier. I'm sorry, folks. I'm sorry. You know, we have a daily newsletter that we send out. It's totally free. It delivered right to your inbox every morning. My wife and I write it every morning. We spend a few hours every morning writing it before the show. So please check it out by going to morninginvest.com. We cover like 5 or 6 stories. We try to do it with a little bit of humor. We cover stories you're probably not going to see other places. And, you know, it's totally free. Comes right to your email inbox. So just go to morninginvest.com, type in your email address, and it'll show up in your inbox. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Much love to all of you. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We will attempt to be back here later today to do another live show. Again, I've been asking you, should we try to do another live 4 p.m. Eastern show? That's one of the goals. I'm going to try to do that today. We'll see how this day unfolds. There's going to be a lot of news coming out of Washington today, so I will love to be back a little bit later this afternoon.
And if we do, for you. If you're going to be sharing your screen again and doing your little drawings and stuff, could you please learn how to draw a proper turtle head?
You know what I'm going to do?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to call this guy Little Cox. Little Cox. Have a great day, everyone.